Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all our social media feeds, we say good morning, universe, and good evening, universe, rather. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg, alongside Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. It's been about 10 hours, so we missed you all. We hope you had a very nice Saturday. Maybe you hit up Bed Bath & Beyond. I hope at least you enjoyed some of the nice warm weather outside, but one of the best games, if not the best game, the Winnipeg Jets have played this year. A 5-2 commanding victory for the Winnipeg Jets. A dominant third period after being tied up at 2 goals apiece after 40 minutes. And really, gentlemen, we talked about it earlier today about this game and the importance of it for the Winnipeg Jets. And you've now finished your 3-game road trip into Toronto with a dominant 2-0-1 record.
Yeah, it was almost like a different team tonight, boys. And yeah, you nailed it, Drew. That third period, I mean, I just tweeted this, like, that was a statement at the end of a 5-game road trip. I'm still trying to figure out what Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe was doing there, because when you take that bench minor, you're basically not giving your team a chance. I mean, the game's not technically over at that point, right? Like, you still have somewhat of a chance, even though there's only, you know, what, 4.5, 5 minutes left there. But what an impressive performance by that third line. You know, Mason Appleton gets the goal earlier in the game that obviously doesn't even go off of his stick, but, you know, just a miscommunication, boys, between Freddie Anderson and Travis Dermott there, and he makes a really nice pass to Adam Lowry. I just thought that third line was really good all night. And then we have to talk about, you know, Scheifele, Wheeler, Stastny, right? Like, Stastny obviously, you know, gets the big tip-in goal, and Scheifele gets the goal on power play and snipe, but, you know, that line was not on Thursday night. We talked about that this morning, and they were much better. Blake Wheeler, you know, draws a penalty earlier in the game, even though eventually that led to Jake Muzzin getting the shorty. But, you know, Blake Wheeler was generating some offense in the slot there, Dave. So just overall, I mean, give Lauren Brossoit credit. You know, we didn't expect him to start the game, you know, after Connor Hellebuck put up, you know, back-to-back, you know, impressive back-to-back performances. So, you know, just overall, you really got to love this, guys. And the Jets are now only 4 points back of the Leafs with a couple of games in hand. So, you know, even though you didn't like, you know, parts of that second period where, you know, the Leafs go up 2-1 and it looked like the momentum, you know, had fully swung in the Leafs' favor, that third period was about as one-sided as it gets.
Yeah, you know, there's no question about it.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think it's a lot of the things we talked about this morning. I think we talked about the fact that we're most likely going to see a much more motivated Winnipeg Jets team. And we thought because Lauren Brossoit was going to be a net, you might get a little bit of a tighter Jets team. And I think those are a couple of the realities of what we saw in this game, right? We saw a Jets team that was, you know, very good to start the game. They, you know, got behind and then managed to tie it up. And Paul Stastny, his play was, you know, what does he have, 5 goals in his last 6 games? You got a lot of good performances. And I think it was interesting because what did we say to end the show this morning? We said, how is this team going to respond tonight? That is our biggest question. That is what is going to be most interesting to us, was their response after the Leafs, you know, had, even though they had Connor Hellebuck in net, looked like the Leafs really deserved the first 2 games. So you come out of there and you have, you know, 5 of 6. It's a pretty impressive way to end a road trip.
No question. And to me, what the biggest takeaway from this game is that third period and how the Jets played defensively. And we could say it really for a large part of the game. So it wasn't just the third period. But that, to me, is the Winnipeg. If that's the Winnipeg Jets team that faces basically anybody in the playoffs, they're going to be a very hard out. And I know we're getting a little bit of ahead ourselves here, but the first 2 games against the Leafs, as entertaining as they were, and they were entertaining, they were not a sustainable way to win. Tonight, what you saw from the Winnipeg Jets, and, you know, they got a little fortunate, because if it's not a hand pass and the Leafs' opening goal counts, you wonder how that changes the tenor of the game. But regardless, it was a hand pass, and it should never have happened. It wasn't, you know, the refs missed the call.
It wasn't even close, though.
No, right. The refs missed the call, or the linesman missed the call, and the Jets, you know, the rules allow for a challenge, and so the Jets obviously challenged, and they deserved to have the goal taken off the board. And then from that point on, it was almost a different Jets team. They were on their heels to start, And then after that, they really, I thought, were certainly the equivalent of the Leafs through the first period, and you know, two periods. And then in the third period, boy, oh boy, that Winnipeg Jets team was as good as we've seen them play this season.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Drew, on all counts. I mean, when you talk about limiting shots, limiting high danger shots, I mean, the Jets were just overall as a team, you know, when you talk about the defensemen and forwards, and we did get to see Josh Morrissey and Dylan DeMello, right? We were wondering if we would see that, right? So we did see that tonight, but, you know, I think, you know, Murat, I got to give him credit. I mean, he's a really astute guy. We know that. And, you know, he pointed this out. I thought, you know, the Jets were much better within kind of 10 feet of their blue line in their own zone. And they were kind of, you know, you could see that they were making a point of counter-punching, counter-attacking the Leafs. And I think, you know, there was a big difference in the style of this game versus last game. I thought it was a much more patient game from the Jets. And, you know, just going back to that first period, you know, Drew mentions the disallowed goal, which obviously should have been disallowed. You know, that was a pretty low event first period. Like that wasn't what you would call a very exciting first period, right? Like there were a few chances, you know, the chance, but was it Andrew Kopp had that good chance late in the first period, if I'm not mistaken. You know, but just overall, I mean, you could see that this Jets team, and they know that they were giving up way too many chances in the last couple of games against the Leafs. So you know that they were committed to play much better defensively. And, you know, Drew mentioned this morning on the show, you know, you wonder if because they knew Lauren Brossoit is in net, obviously they're not going to change the way they play completely. But you just wonder if that means you're going to tighten up a little bit in front of him. I thought Logan Stanley was really good. I thought Tucker Pullman was much better than he was on Thursday night. Overall, I think Matty Perreault was really solid on that fourth line, even though we know the fourth line, you know, they don't play a lot. But just overall, guys, like, this is the way that you wanted to end the road trip, and this is the way you wanted to play. You didn't like the way you played on Thursday night. You know you were lucky to get a point. Anybody who watched that game knows the Jets didn't deserve to get a point. As Drew mentioned, that was Hellebuck's point. So, you know, if you're the Jets, you're super happy in that dressing room.
Well, you know, and you look around and the Jets got contributions, I thought, from everybody in this game. I thought that might have been Logan Stanley's best game. I mean, I think you tweeted, Dave, that he got his first NHL point. Did he get a primary assist on Jets goals? They're sort of blending together for me right now.
He got the secondary assist on Stasny's.
Secondary.
Stasny's goal.
On the point shot. And, you know, I thought he was very impressive. I mean, I liked him with Tucker Pullman. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we now see Morrissey and DeMello back together as a pair, because we saw that sort of switch happen during the second period. And I thought from that point in time on, I mean, I don't want to say that was the reason, that was the catalyst for the Jets playing so well in the third period, because that would be a bridge too far. But I thought that, you know, DeMello and Morrissey and Pionk and Forbort, and then you got Pullman and Stanley. You have something there that it was a bit of a dog's breakfast, your defense was, you know, before that. So all around tonight, gentlemen, this was one of the best efforts I think we've seen from the Winnipeg. If you bottle that game, and that's sort of what you want to see from the Jets, and that's what probably head coach Paul Maurice wants to see. When you can bottle that game and you can find the effort and you want it to look the way you want it to look, five goals, even forget about the fifth goal, because it was sort of out of hand and the Leafs melted down at that point in time. But the 4-2 goal, I mean, you know, Ehlers getting that power play goal to make it 4-2. And the
what
Jets
a shot. Also, great job. Sorry, Drew, I was just going to say, or a little bit lag there. I was going to say great screen in front. Matty Perreault, it was pointed out on the broadcast by Craig Simpson. You know, I don't think Freddie Anderson saw that, even though it was an absolute rocket. No. You know, sorry about that, Drew. You were a little bit behind there in the feed. That's why I don't think you heard me. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt here, guys, that the Jets deserve this win. Like there was no question here. You know, like the first couple of games, like we talked about it during the Saturday morning show. Like you could argue that the Jets were lucky to get 1 point out of those first two games. The Leafs could have easily won both of those games in regulation. This one, And I wouldn't necessarily say that was the best game of the year for the Jets, but it was probably, you know, if not the best period of the year for the Jets, you know, one of the best periods when you consider how that finished. Like, you could tell, you know, and I think this is why Sheldon Keefe, obviously he didn't like the call on Zach Hyman, right? But you could sense that frustration on the bench. They knew that that game was over. Like, mm-hmm. this game was over. The Jets, you know, put an exclamation point on that game with the Scheifele goal.
You know, we talked about high danger scoring chances. We talked about that today. So let's be fair as fair. Here's the high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5 in tonight's game. The Winnipeg Jets, 14 high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5. The Toronto Maple Leafs, 3. I mean, that is a...
Yeah. It's a complete reversal, Drew.
You haven't seen a disparity like that involving the Winnipeg Jets almost at all this year, because usually they don't have a ton of high danger chances, and instead they're just very opportunistic when they get their chances. Today, 14-3. I mean, you know, in high danger chances, expected goals, the Jets, it's one-sided. Scoring chances, 27-20. Everything top to bottom for this game. This was the best, I think, 5-on-5 game for the Winnipeg Jets this season, certainly against the best level of competition. There might have been other games where they played well or played as well against lesser teams in the North Division. But to go into Toronto on the third game of a road trip or of a series in Toronto, the fifth game of the road trip, and to do what they did to the Toronto Maple Leafs is damn impressive. Pardon my French.
No, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And again, we've talked about we talked about how important, especially with all the French guys on this team now, Drew, you have to pay attention to that sort of thing. But we talked about it throughout the course of this morning's show. I mean, this was going to be as important a game as you were going to have. I mean, it wasn't going to be season defining, of course, because that would be a little hyperbolic. But at the same time, it was important because Toronto, you know, a lot of people were saying, look, you got caved in the previous two games, but your goaltender saved your bacon and you needed to put out a performance. Well, the Jets did. The Leafs have now lost 3 of their last 4. So I suspect that people over in Toronto are going to be apoplectic with what is going on with them. But at the same time, you know, I think there's a thought at least that if the Jets can continue this, right? I mean, you had a good road trip. You've got, I think, Montreal on Monday and Wednesday. And so you've got, you know, you've got a team in Montreal. I think they lost to the Flames tonight, 3-1. If I'm, that was the score of the last one I checked. So I know they lost. I don't know the exact score, but the truth is you got a Montreal team that's wounded, I guess. And look, you just have to continue because to Ezzie's point that he made a little while ago, you're not that far out of first now. That's why these games are so interesting.
4 points behind the Leafs, two games in hand.
Yeah.
And the Jets really played what I'll call bully ball. They bullied the Toronto Maple Leafs in that third period. And so you don't want to have a letdown.
Did you just come up with that? I like that.
It's a basketball reference that you can say that, you know, some teams in basketball, really physical teams in basketball, play bully ball. You take it if you want to use it, Ezzie. You don't even have to give me credit.
No. It's yours. You've got it trademarked there, Drew.
The lawyers are filing the papers right now. It's not officially quite officially trademarked yet. But I think it's important for the Jets now to build upon this. They did it. You've seen it. You know how it works. They want to now build upon it on Monday again.
You have a blueprint.
Exactly right.
Drew, to your point, you have a blueprint against the team that everybody labeled the best team in the North Division. And another thing the Jets have shown is that they're really. They've managed to stay consistent, right? I mean, they just aren't allowing themselves to get knocked off course and lose multiple games.
I really don't think that the Jets are that far off from the Leafs. I do think the Leafs are overall a better team. I just think that they have the advantage, especially when you talk about the back end. Like, you know, we have to also give credit to the Leafs here. It's not like the Leafs were awful for the majority of this game. It was just really the third period where, you know, as the cliche goes, it really unraveled, right? Like, you guys know I've been talking about TJ Brody for years. I really wanted the Jets to acquire him, and I think there were a bunch of teams that wanted to acquire him. But TJ Brody, man, is he a good defenseman? And obviously Morgan Riley isn't too shabby either. You know, I'm in the camp that thinks he's a top 10 defenseman. Some people think he's even, you know, higher in their rankings. but you know, like Jake Muzzin obviously popped in that first goal. Muzzin's a guy who we know has represented Team Canada. You know, Travis Dermott, I like him. I mean, you know, it's a miscue. It's a miscommunication, you know, between Freddie Anderson and Travis Dermott that there. And, you know, our good friend Bogo, you know, he's looking good on the third pair. We know he picked himself up a Stanley Cup ring last year with Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I would take Toronto's top six defensemen over the Jets' top six. But when you're talking about, you know, the forward groups, I mentioned this Saturday morning, guys, like the Jets' top six.
That was today.
I think it's, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly, right? And you know, like you watch Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, you know, the first line with Zach Hyman, and then you look at the second line with Tavares and Nylander, like there's a lot of similarities between these teams, guys. And, you know, we talked about it this morning. Like, yeah, there were some power plays, right? There were, what were there, five combined power plays tonight or six, I forget. But, you know, most of these goals, you know, let's take away the Scheifele goal. There was one power play goal, right? But at for the most part, you know, this game was determined at even strength. And if these two teams, it seems like this is a collision course, right? Like, it seems like it almost, I was going to mention this, guys, and I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves because we've still got half the season, but it's almost like the Jets and the Leafs are kind of similar to back in 2018 when it seemed like the Jets and Predators were destined to play each other.
Yeah,
like I have that feeling, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the Leafs and the Jets are going to have to get to the point where they play each other because we expect them to finish 1-2 in the division. Man, it seems like if you're going to get to the Western Conference Final this year, it's likely you're going to have to beat the other team.
Yeah, and that's why I think tonight was so important for the Winnipeg Jets, because despite getting 3 out of the 4 points on Tuesday and Thursday, as we said, you know, 12 hours ago, it wasn't sustainable. It wasn't going to be a way you could win in the playoffs against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So instead, what did they do? Well, I mean, there's a number of different, you know, turning points in tonight's game. The Jets give up that shorthanded goal and you're thinking, oh boy. And then they give up another goal, you know, 2.5 minutes later and it's 2-1 mm-hmm. and you're thinking, really, oh boy. Because, you know, truthfully, the Jets didn't need the game as badly as the Leafs did, given, you know, the way that the first two games had gone. But they get the tying goal, the Stastny tip, who's such a smart hockey player.
Unbelievable. And
the way he's able to, you know, it's an innocent, you know, flick, you know, a flip shot by Scheifele that he gets it through, and Stastny's able to knock it down. And it's, again, going into that third period tied up at two goals apiece where it's anybody's game. And what's, to me, the most impressive is the Jets wanted it more in the third period than the Toronto Maple Leafs did. And if you're the Maple Leafs, and it's not that this was Freddie Anderson's fault, but Freddie Anderson is always the guy who's got the most questions surrounding him for the Leafs. And Laurent Brossoit outplayed Freddie Anderson. And last time I checked, Laurent Brossoit was the Jets' backup goaltender. Never mind what we know that Hellebuck could do on Tuesday and Thursday. But
yeah. You know, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know, those goals that were scored tonight on Freddie Anderson. I mean, we talked about the Ehlers goal. You know, there's a good chance that he doesn't see that because of Matty Perreault's net front presence, right? And Mason Appleton's goal, like, let's be honest, it was lucky. Like, give Adam Lowry credit. He puts the puck on net. And, you know, Mason Appleton, we know he loves to drive the net and, you know, goes off of him. So, obviously, he's going to take that goal. But I don't know if you can fault Freddie Anderson. Maybe he should have had that one. But I don't know how many of these goals really, you know, you could fault. Like Mark Scheifele, that's a snipe, right, on the power play. It's a 5-on-3.
Sure.
You know, like, you know, you mentioned Paul Stastny's goal that ties the game up, right? Like, that's a nice tip, and it was a double mm-hmm. tip, right? So, but there's no doubt, Drew. I mean, we're going to be talking about this. Like we said, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. The Jets and the Leafs play, what, 5 more times, 6 more times this season? But, you know, it seems like... Yeah, but I mean, the playoffs are going to come quickly, boys. Like, it's only going to be a couple of months from now that the playoffs are going to start. And, you know, it is a good chance that we are going to see these two teams play. And you're always going to give the Jets the edge in goal.
Yeah, you absolutely are. I mean, this was a very impressive effort by the Winnipeg Jets. I want to look at a little bit of the analytics again, because, you know, fair is fair. These guys have been criticized a lot this year, especially when you take a look at the quote unquote advanced stats. The Wheeler Scheifele Stastny line. Blake Wheeler, a 78.26 Corsi 4 percentage tonight. Probably the best of his season, I'd have to look. And this is all only at 5-on-5. So this is really where you're looking at there. Blake Wheeler, as I said, 78.26. Mark Scheifele, 80. 80% core C4.
Can we redo, can we redo our expectations from earlier?
No, it's already been locked in. And the podcast can't be edited. You know that. You look at Paul Stastny, 77.27%. The Winnipeg Jets, I mean, they were dominant at 5-on-5. You know, they dominated on the scoreboard and they dominated in the advanced stats and the analytics. An all-around tremendous effort by the Jets.
The fact of the matter is you watch that game and there was a clear, again, we talked about it. The Jets needed to come. They didn't need to win. Obviously you want to win, but they needed to show an effort that they hadn't in the previous game. And I think what we saw tonight was that effort. And it was a complete game. I mean, that's, you know, oftentimes they talk about five-man units and playing as the unit. And we saw that tonight. We really did see guys picking up for other guys. And, you know, we saw, to Ezzie's point, we saw DeMello and Morrissey in flashes together. You know, again, I think we're just going to, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it was the type of effort you needed to see from the Winnipeg Jets. And that's, they performed. I mean, on the biggest stage with all eyes on them, to quote Tupac, they really were able to perform. And that's all you can ask if you're on the world's biggest stage, really.
I'll throw a little more California love onto the Jets if we're going to keep the Tupac and Dr. Dre references going, Dave. You know I love my hip hop.
Really, there's no one better to talk about hip hop than three Jewish white guys in Winnipeg.
Hey, BC boys.
Yeah, fine.
No, but I mean, look at the game was tied going into the third period. Look, I didn't expect that. I don't think a lot of people expected that dominant of a performance. It's not that the Jets won the game. I mean, we knew that there was a chance that the Jets could win the game, you know, going into the third period tied. But it was the way in which they won that game. Like that was like again, and you know, people are gonna, you know, some people are gonna say, you know, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It's only one game. But when you played a couple of games and you got 3 or 4 points and you most likely shouldn't got any points, you know, and then you're able to, you know, switch your game and adapt and they really did. And you know, the coaching staff and the players were aware of this. It's not like, you know, we talk about analytics and everything like that. And we were talking about this, you know, off air, you know, a few weeks back, like, what players say about analytics and what coaches say about analytics, it doesn't matter. Like, this is my own opinion. I mean, you know that analytics are important in hockey. Like, it's just a fact. Like, analytics give you way more in-depth analysis into a game as opposed to just, you know, simple shots and simple goals and assists. So they were aware, whether or not you were aware of exactly how many high danger chances, you know, I'm not saying that Mark Scheifele was, you know, this was in his head that it was 18-4 against in high danger chances, but they knew they were badly outplayed at even strength. And I think that bothered them. They see the Edmonton Oilers passing them and they knew this was a big game. They stepped up when they needed to. They had the day off, right? We know that they didn't practice. And Paul Maurice was talking about it before the game, Dave. You know this because you post all the audio on illegalcurve.com. Like, he said that, like, these guys were focused and ready to go. That's what I saw. And that might be simplifying it a little bit, guys, but this Jets team just looked a lot more focused, more dialed in. And I think that they knew that they had to bring a much better defensive game. And part of that has to do with playing in the Leaf zone. That started with, you know, Scheifele.
Here's Jets head coach Paul Maurice. So we're going to bring in Paul Maurice and hear from him, and we'll be right back after.
How good was your third line tonight?
Number three, that's so good. They were true to identity, I think, and they've been building toward it. You know, look at Mason Appleton, Dryvesson. They've been building. It's not a line that you put on the ice necessarily to hold water anymore. Like, that's the vision for that line. They'll just generate it in a different way, right? Net dive, win a battle behind the net, those close plays around the net. So they were really good. I think it's been there for a little while, but it looked like it was starting to come together tonight.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. Talked a lot this week about your guys in the film room and kind of the hockey nerd aspect of this team. I would imagine a team like Toronto can be a little confusing to kind of crack the code on, but did you feel heading into this game that your team had kind of covered a little better how to limit this Toronto team and execute that tonight?
I don't know. I understand the idea from watching it. I don't know that we would take it that far. We spent a lot of our time here this week trying to define who we are and our ability to play different styles of teams, different offensive games. So we'll get into, you know, a Montreal game in a couple of days that'll look different than this. But so I thought we adapted fairly well over this week. And there's some really strong leadership. The March blue line tonight, so hard and so good in their own end. Just the basics of defense, understanding the role that they had in playing against Matthews in their line. Those guys were really, really good. So I thought you saw, you always talk about adjustments. I think this is all player, right? It wasn't a coaching win tonight. I think the players really bear down on some of the basic parts of the game, and that's where we want to.
We'll go next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul. What signaled the change with Morrissey and DeMello, and what led to that for you tonight?
It was the matchup issue. You know what? I mean, I would come up with a way to make. I don't want to tell you the exact things. Like, I don't think we had everybody at 100% tonight. Like we had some, like every team, you're always dealing with some issues, right, on your bench. So we just made that switch because of the matchup. So we changed the matchup and the pairs, what happened at the same time. And that was just kind of after the third shift. We wanted a little different look.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton.
That was as gray as I could possibly make that answer. Sorry, Scott.
We'll go next to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jeff.
Paul, this week wasn't always pretty, but you bank 5 of 6 points against a very good Toronto team, and you save your best effort for last. How are you going to describe this mini-series against Toronto?
I'm going to package it as the whole trip, because what we're doing here on all of this is just learning on the fly. Part of it is the whole experience of this, right? Another 11 days isolated, quarantined, took a day, you know, had an incredible defeat on Hockey Night in Canada on the Saturday night, 7-1 in Montreal, and then scratch and claw, find a way to win, goaltender stands on your head, best game for last in a hard, gritty effort. So I think we got a really smart hockey team, and I think they learn on the fly. That's what I'm coming away with. We're really, really good. Happy to be going home.
Just a few more for Coach. We'll go next to Murat Atesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Trevor. Hi, Paul. A second ago, you said that it was really player-driven in terms of bearing down with that five-man in the zone effort. And then you referenced the Hockey Night in Canada game last week. I'm wondering if that's stubbornness or determination, where that comes from and what sorts of things, maybe even a game like that last week, can play on a night like this where they just decide to commit as hard as they
did. Right. Leadership and intelligence. I think the understanding that 7-1 game was a one-off and not being panicked by it. I do think we had a little bit of a confidence issue coming back, and maybe you should have. Right, you get beat 7-1. So we weren't quite as sharp and things weren't quite as easy for us. It slowly built confidence in the game and the intelligent part is figured out kind of what you need to be really good at to try to beat a team like Toronto. And they were exceptional, especially in game 2 of the series. Toronto was fantastic in that game. And recognizing the other team gets paid too. So it's not always, you know, hey, if you just go out and play your game, you're going to win. But I think, you know, we had a good day off yesterday. That helped. There was a real nice energy in the morning skate, kind of a confidence there. Maybe it's just excitement about going home. But there was a real positive kind of feel going into the game tonight.
We'll go next to Ken Weaver from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Well, what was said on the bench during the review, and did it serve as any reset for Brossoit, or was that a situation where he might have thought the whistle was blowing because of how the play went?
Right. Nothing. That was just 20 guys on the bench, no, I guess 19 guys on the bench going, that's a hand pass. Matty Prefontaine was clean on that one right from the start, that it was a hand pass. So that one we weren't worried about. Maybe, I don't know if it was a reset form. It was a hell of a shot. But that one we didn't spend a lot. The only concerning part about it was how long it took to get to the point that we were sure they were getting to. And then you get that 30 seconds of extreme discomfort that they're not looking at the same thing that you're looking at. But we were pretty sure that one was clean.
And final question to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, Paul. Hopefully this one won't be as gray, but I'll accept that was from the VHS comment from earlier. But I'm wondering, you had about two minutes of adversity in this game in the second period there where the shorthanded goal comes. Obviously, you guys win 5-2, so I assume you're happy with how your team responded. But what did your guys do well after those two goals kind of went in and flipped the game around?
You know what, Scott? I thought what we did well is that our game was this was one of the most consistent that I thought we had played all year. And getting into the third period, I remember the line that at 3-2 that Shifley's line has, right? They have the chance, and then they go down and have just like a dominant offensive zone shift. So I thought what we were good at is we've had to bounce back in games, right? We've had to kind of get off the mat sometimes. We've had to, you know, claw back into games. Regardless of the score, our game was pretty darn good right from start to finish. We were solid. When we made a mistake, it was almost more of a bounce of the puck, or if we missed a check, everybody on the bench saw it. It was clean. So there wasn't nearly as much confusion in the game as I think we found in game one and two, kind of learned how to sort it out a little better. We were pretty solid right from the get-go.
Scotty Billick, the scrum ender.
There he goes, Jets head coach Paul Maurice. I really should have been born an octopus. That's what I'm beginning to realize in trying to do all this post-game mumbo-jumbo. My apologies. Apparently, when you mute the YouTube that Paul Maurice was on, it mutes it for the people on our live stream. So I'm learning. No one ever said that I was a quick learner, but I am learning as quickly as I possibly can. By the time the season's over, I'll have it down, probably mastered. I can guarantee that. Anyways, that was Jets head coach Paul Maurice. You know, I thought the
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that octopus metaphor.
Well, because I need another arm. I'm trying to do so many different things at the same time, Mr. Ginsburg, that I need another arm to try and get everything done at once. I thought the question, I think it was Scotty Billick who asked the question about why they made the switch with DeMello going up with Morrissey. And Maurice was, I would say, evasive in giving the answer there. But, I hope that this is a catalyst, and if he needed an excuse to stick with DeMello and Morrissey, I hope that third period was that excuse, because it's not like Poolman and Stanley looked out of place at all playing together on that third pairing.
No,
of course they're not going to look out of place I was just going to say, because that's really the position where we think they should be, right? Like, that is a natural spot for both Tucker Poolman and Logan Stanley. So nobody's really going to be surprised when you have those guys playing in those roles, because even if they're forced to go into that second pairing, they can probably handle it, right? But the reality is, where is their wheelhouse? Well, I mean, we've said it's probably in that third pairing role. So I think when you see them there, you're not surprised that they can handle it, because if need be, they can increase their game. But for the most part, if you've got those guys playing in that spot, it's probably a good thing.
You know, to me, and I know we've talked about it throughout this post-game show, you hold the Maple Leafs in a 2-2 game, you hold the Maple Leafs to 6 shots on goal in the third period. I mean, that's impressive against any team in the NHL, especially when it's a tied game. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, a team that is, you know, they roll sort of, even their, you know, their fourth line is an offensively inclined fourth line. And the Jets just shut them down. They shut down any sort of momentum for the Maple Leafs. They did not really let the Maple Leafs have any sort of life after the Jets took that 3-2 lead. A fantastic pass from Mason Appleton. Yep. What's almost as much fun as it is watching the high-skilled guys like Ehlers and Shifley is watching a guy like Mason Appleton and Jansen Harkins last year come into their own. And you sort of see the game in real time slowing down for them. And that's what you're seeing with Mason Appleton. To be able to find Adam Lowry you know, from behind the net, out on the doorstep, and Lowry displaying some, you know, a guy who's not known for his hands, displayed some soft hands right there, giving the Jets that key 3-2 lead. You saw Lowry's celebratory fist pump, because I think that was his first goal in, what they say, 20 games? Is that 19, I think I heard on the broadcast?
Yeah, he had got 19 games without a goal.
Well, there you go. So you can see why he was so exuberant with getting that goal, you know, for the Jets. Turns out to be the game-winning goal. But to me, you know, Mason Appleton, obviously, you know, he got a goal just by driving hard to the net and the puck taking a good bounce off of him. But even more impressive than that goal was, I think, the pass to Lowry, because the first goal was certainly more a fluke than it was skill.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dave knows this. Like, the thing with Appleton is this was a guy who was a standout, like a really good player at Michigan State. He was a late draft pick, but he was also really good. Like, he put up really good offensive numbers in the American Hockey League. But at the NHL level, especially when you've got, you know, Connor and Wheeler, Ehlers, you know, Line A before he was traded, you know, like Stastny, I guess, because he's a winger now, like, you know, And you just know there are only so many players that can play in a team's top six. So he's a third liner, but it's not like this guy's a slouch. And that's the funny thing. Like he was a guy that was getting, you know, fourth line minutes basically prior to this season, right? Like this is an elevated role for him. Of course, he's played at times on the third role, but like if you think about it, it's Perreault's role has kind of diminished a little bit. And I think he would admit that, and he's doing a good job on the fourth line, but like Appleton's a really good hockey player. Like, yes, this is his breakout year and he took a while to get to the NHL and become an NHL regular, Dave. But like, I think to remember that, like, this isn't a guy that, you know, it's all of a sudden he's a good hockey player. You know, it's just really the result NHL level. So yeah, he just continues to impress. He's just a great story. And, you know, I don't remember who asked the question there in the chat, because we went to the Paul Maurice press conference, but, you know, about back to Logan Stanley. Yes, I do think Logan, if Nathan Beaulieu is healthy, I think Logan Stanley deserves to be in the lineup over Nathan Beaulieu. Nothing against him. I just think so far this year, I think Stanley has shown more.
We have a question that came in the chat. I believe Sandy was asking about Mark Scheifele's stats in the faceoff circle tonight. Mark Scheifele, 10-for-18, 56% faceoff success for the Winnipeg Jets. Certainly paced the Winnipeg Jets in that category.
Their numbers overall. Sandy, by the way, because she was in the chat Saturday morning as well. So I think
again, that was this morning. Game, so. That's Saturday morning was this morning. You know,
well, it's the same thing.
I know it is. We're going to...
Guys, I was up at like 5:30 with my kids. I mean, I have no idea what time of day it is. What time is it? 9:30? Is it 11:30? I have no idea. I'm going to bed. I might fall asleep during the show.
No one would blame you at all. We're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. We do encourage everybody to head over to the additional post-game show. I guess the post-game show with our buddies Kenny and Rennie, Ken Wiebe and Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet. They're going to be live. If they're not live yet, they're going to be live very soon on their YouTube feed. You can follow their Twitter feeds and you get a link there to the, I think it's the Kenny and Rennie show if you're searching for it.
It's on YouTube as well. Yeah,
exactly.
By the way, I agree with Daniel who's saying I need to hear from Ralph from St. James. I agree with that. Keep your stick on the ice always.
There you go. That's exactly. The Ralph is certainly a classic that we all miss since the departure of the old radio station. We don't need to give the parent company any sort of plug there. But ultimately, gentlemen, as we begin to wrap this one up, a tremendous effort for the Winnipeg Jets, a tremendous victory by the Winnipeg Jets. They go into Toronto. They play three games against the Leafs. They're coming off of a 7-1 defeat, which was only a week ago. Seems like a lot longer than that, but it was 7 days ago. And what do they do in those three games? Well, they take 5 out of 6. They, you know, rely on significant goaltending efforts in the first two games. They rely today on the best team defense that I think we've seen from this team, certainly against the best competition this year. 5 out of 6, 4 points behind the Leafs now with two games in hand, and a tremendous job by the Winnipeg Jets this week.
And, you know, it's one of those things, though, you can't rest on your laurels. I mean, I think this is what, you know, you've seen from this North Division is that you can't just say, okay, well, we had a really good game, you know, and again, you've got a Montreal team that's coming in that lost against Calgary. They're feeling surly, and, you know, they've lost their last two. So they lost, that's right, they lost both to the Flames. So you've got a Montreal team that's kind of teetering, and you can't afford to take them lightly. And you could maybe try and conjure up memories of that 7-1 defeat they handed you. But I think that's going to be a little bit, far away from Monday's game. But at the same time, again, if you can bottle it up and replicate it, and it's easier said than done, but if you can, and I think, the Jets were a team that knew they needed to put forth this kind of team effort. And that to me is the most important thing. It was a collective team effort. We really did see a buy-in from really almost everybody across the board, I'd say, in terms of getting this victory. And, it's interesting because Paul Maurice talked about last Saturday's loss in Montreal, how everybody on the team owned it. But I would say, conversely, in this win, everybody from the team owned it.
As a final thought, everybody, goes to you tonight.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. But
No pressure, Ezzy.
No, I mean, look, I think, this game was completely wide open going into the third period, even though I think that, the Jets were the better team through two periods. I'd give them, a slight advantage, especially the way they rebounded from, those two quick goals. What was it in, within 3 minutes there from Muzzin and Nylander. So, I mean, that third period was just, I was absolutely blown away, guys. Like, we've been covering this team since they came back. And, that was one of those periods where it was like, whoa, okay, you guys stepped your game up, and you deserve that win. So that was something that, as Dave mentioned, you've got Montreal and Edmonton next week. You've got a back-to-back game there at home, and then it's going to be those are going to be two games that I think are going to be really interesting to see what happens, because you're going to have to go on a plane and then go play the Edmonton Oilers, who we know have been playing really good hockey as of late. So this is something you can definitely build off of, but a statement win. I know it's a cliche, but I tweeted this out, like, to me that was a statement win for the Jets, and they deserve full marks for the way they played and rebounded from those two games against Toronto, in which they were lucky to get the 3 points out of four.
Absolutely. Want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, and Boston Pizza. Thanks to them and their support, they make the Illegal Curve Hockey Show possible each and every time that we are on air and broadcasting. Want to remind you, in case you missed any of the post-game coverage, in case you want to read more about the Winnipeg Jets, there's only one place you need to go to do that. That, of course, is our website, illegalcurve.com. If you're in the chat room right now, that means you're watching us on YouTube. If you're watching us on Twitter, or if you're watching us even on Twitch, be sure to subscribe. Smash that subscribe button. Smash that like button. Get notified each and every time we are live here on YouTube and all of our social media feeds. Also want to remind everybody that there's more post-game post-game coverage coming through Ken Weeb and Sean Reynolds, our good friends. They're going to be doing their show. I'm not sure exactly when they're starting. I'm sure they're wrapping up some other duties. They'll be starting very shortly. We encourage you to go check them out as well. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We'll see you on Monday night for another post-game show. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show post-game show.